From the pulpit of the First Baptist Church of Dallas, Texas, this is Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Hi, I'm Robert Jeffress, and welcome again to Pathway to Victory. If you've ever been hurt by somebody you love, you've probably been told to forgive and forget. And while the idea sounds nice, it's not exactly realistic. Today, I'm going to discuss how to move past those hurts that are so painful, so deep, they're impossible to forget. My message is titled, Forgiving Without Forgetting, on today's edition of Pathway to Victory.
The Bible says that forgiveness is critically important, so important that your eternal destiny depends upon it. So how do you learn to forgive the unforgivable, release the bitterness, and begin to repair broken relationships? In his best-selling book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, Dr. Robert Jeffress turns to God's Word to uncover the practical how-tos of biblical forgiveness. Request your copy of When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense when you give a generous gift this month to Pathway to Victory.
President Dwight Eisenhower once described his unique method of forgiving those who had wronged him. He said, "I make it my practice to avoid hating anyone. If someone has been guilty of despicable actions, especially toward me, I try to forget him. I used to follow a practice, somewhat contrived, I admit, to write the man's name on a scrap of paper, drop it in my bottom drawer, and say to myself, that finishes the incident, and as far as I'm concerned, that finishes that person. That drawer over the years became a sort of private wastebasket for crumpled up spite and discarded personalities. Besides, it seemed to be an effective way to deal with problems and help me avoid harboring useless black feelings." Now, Dwight Eisenhower may have been a wonderful president, but he didn't understand the first thing about forgiving. Forgiving somebody is not the same as trying to forget what someone has done to us. And as we're going to discover today, forgetting the hurts that have been inflicted against us, forgetting is neither the means of or the test of genuine forgiveness. In this series on forgiveness, we've been talking about some of the barriers that keep people from forgiving. A lot of people have misunderstandings about forgiveness. For example, some people confuse forgiveness with repentance. They say, well, I can't forgive somebody unless they repent and say, I'm sorry. We saw why that's not true. Some people equate forgiveness with consequences. They say, well, I'd like to forgive, but I don't want to erase the consequences that person has to experience for what they've done to me. No, when you forgive, you're giving up your right for vengeance, but not your desire for justice. Last time we saw that there's a difference also between forgiveness and reconciliation. You may forgive somebody that you never want to have lunch again with or never see again with until they make some changes. Forgiveness doesn't always result in reconciliation. Forgiveness is dependent upon me alone. Reconciliation is dependent upon me and the one who's offended me. Forgiveness has no strings attached to it. Reconciliation has several strings attached to it. And today we're going to look at another misunderstanding about forgiveness, and that is equating forgiveness with forgetting. Let me say it again. Forgetting what somebody has done to us is neither the means of nor the test of whether we've genuinely forgiven somebody. Let me express, first of all, two dangers of confusing forgiving with forgetting. First of all, making that correlation can short-circuit the forgiveness process. If we equate forgiving with forgetting, it can short-circuit the forgiveness process. Let me illustrate that for you. Let's say I've got a knot on my arm. It's really bothering me. And people say, you know, you ought to get to the doctor and have that checked out. And I say, well, I just don't have time. And so instead, every 2 hours, I pop some Advil, you know, to dull the pain. And I do this for several weeks, and I've learned to manage the pain that way. One day, I finally go to the doctor, and he does a biopsy of that knot. He said, Robert, I'm sorry to tell you, that's cancer. And it's metastasized to the rest of your body. If only you had taken care of it earlier. You see, I used that aspirin, that Advil, to dull the pain, when in fact, what I needed to do was deal with the source of that pain. It's the same way with forgetting. When we try to deal with offenses committed against us by simply forgetting what had happened to us, that's our way of taking Advil, so to speak, of dulling the pain so we don't deal with it, when in fact, we do need to deal with it through a surgical process called forgiveness. In Hebrews 12, verse 15, the writer says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Listen to me, if you don't take care of that root cause of bitterness in your life, if you don't deal with that hurt somebody has caused you in the proper way through the surgical process of forgiveness, that bitterness will metastasize in your life. It will destroy anything and everything that is important to you. Secondly, the danger of confusing forgiveness with forgetting is that it many times causes us to experience unnecessary guilt. You know, you may say, well, if God's really forgiven me of this thing that I did 5 years ago, why do I keep remembering it? Is it a sign that I really haven't been forgiven by God? And if I've really forgiven my father of what he did to me years ago, why, have I really forgiven him if I keep remembering those painful words he spoke to me? Many times, if we confuse forgiveness with forgetting, we experience unnecessary guilt. Well, how do we understand the relationship between forgiveness and forgetting? Well, let's look at how God forgives us, and I think it provides some clarity here. You know, in this series, we've been saying that we're commanded to forgive other people in the same way that God forgives us. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ has forgiven us. Now, here's the question. When God forgives our sin, does he forget our sin? Well, there's certainly some passages in the Bible that seem to indicate that he does. You know, I'll have to admit to you, they say confession is good for the soul. I've preached messages in the past in which I've said, when God forgives, he forgets. After all, we've got the authority of Scripture behind that. Look at Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far God has removed our transgressions from us. Or Jeremiah 31, 34. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will what? Remember no more. Or Micah 7, verse 19, he will again have compassion on us. He will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. I mean, those passages really seem to indicate that God forgets when he forgives, doesn't it? But let's think about that. Is that really true? The moment you trust in Christ as your Savior, does God suddenly develop a case of heavenly Alzheimer's and he can't remember anything anymore? I mean, do we really believe that's what happens? And if God really does forget, then how does he judge us? You say, well, as a Christian, I'm never going to be judged by God. Oh, that's not true at all. Even as Christians, we're going to stand before a judgment. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It's not a judgment for condemnation to send us to hell. It's a judgment of commendation to reward us for the good things we've done in the name of Christ. But it's a judgment nevertheless. In 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Paul's writing to Christians here. He says, we must, every one of us, appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You're going to be evaluated by God. Every part of your life is going to be evaluated by God. Not to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. That's already been decided when you trust in Christ. But it is a judgment of rewards. And for God to properly evaluate your life, he has to evaluate all of your life. And that's what he does, Paul says. He is going to reward us for what we've done, whether good or bad. How can God make that evaluation if he's suddenly forgotten everything bad that has happened? So, Pastor, are you saying you don't believe the Bible? You're saying you don't believe these passages that say that God forgets our sin? I'm not saying that, but here's what I am saying. Now listen carefully. I believe every word in this book is true. This is God's inspired and errant word. We're to take all of the Bible seriously, but we are not to take every word literally. Can't believe the pastor of the First Baptist Church of Dallas said we're not to take all of God's word literally. Well, you don't take it literally. I mean, Jesus said, if your eyes cause you to sin, gouge them out. Now, by that command, every one of you ought to have a seeing eye dog right now, okay? And I should as well. God said, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. We don't take that literally. We understand Jesus was speaking in hyperbole to illustrate a very important truth, and that is, you're to go to whatever extent necessary to eradicate sin from your life. That's what he's talking about. And the same thing is true when we talk about God forgetting our sin. It's not that he can never recall our sin. What he's doing is using a human term, an experience that we all have, forgetting, to explain the extent, the wonderful extent of God's forgiveness, that when he forgives completely. You know, Micah 7:19, I quoted a moment ago, he cast our sins into the depths of the sea. Corrie ten Boom added the words, and he posted a sign there that says, no fishing allowed. That's what God does when he forgives you. He forgives completely, and you never have to worry that he's going to dredge up some failure from your past and judge you again. You know, to really understand what it is that God does when he forgives us, hold your place here and turn over to Romans chapter 4, verses 7 to 8. These are familiar words. We looked at them months ago. And remember what Paul said about how God forgives? Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and those whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not, what? Take into account. Now that phrase, take into account, is one word in Greek, logiazomai. It's an accounting term. It means to be charged against somebody's account. When God forgives us through our trust in Jesus Christ, he takes our sin and marks it paid in full. And we never have to worry that he is going to ask for a further payment for our sin. Paul made another allusion to that in Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. We're going to look at those verses more next week. But here's what Christ did when he forgave you. Having forgiven us all our transgressions. I don't care what sin you have in your life this morning that you think God can't forgive. Listen to what Paul says. He has forgiven us all of our transgressions. Having canceled out the certificate of debt, consisting of decrees against us, which were hostile to us, and he's taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. That is, he took that long list of your sins and my sins, sins that we owe God an eternity in hell to pay for. He took that long list of our sins, and what did he do? He nailed it to the cross of Jesus Christ. And that's why when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, what he literally said was, te telestai, paid in full. Your debt has been forever canceled. It has been paid in full. But here's the point I want you to understand today. It is possible to forgive a debt without forgetting a debt. You can forgive a debt without forgetting the debt. Some years ago, Amy and I decided that we were going to give one of our cars to our church. It was run down, broken, worthless, so we thought, why not give it to the church? And no, that's not the guy. I'm just kidding. It was in perfect running order. It was a good car. And we were going to transfer it over to the church, and I had lost the title. And so before I could get a title to make the transfer, I had to call the lending agency, General Motors Acceptance Corporation, to show that there wasn't a lien against the car, that in fact the debt had been paid. Now suppose I had written GMAC and they had written me back a letter that said, dear Dr. Jeffress, unfortunately we have no record of your debt because we have a policy as soon as a loan is paid off, we destroy the records of the debt. Well, does that happen? No, the computers at General Motors have long, long memories. But suppose instead They wrote me a letter and they said, "Dear Dr. Jeffers, we were able to find a record of your debt. We saw that you paid it off. However, upon further examination, we noticed that we had offered you an unusually low interest rate that on further reflection wasn't a fair interest rate. And so we've recalculated what you owe us. Please send us a check for $2,000. Now, fortunately, they didn't do that either. Instead, they were able to recall the debt I had, but they were also able to recall that it had been paid, and I received a copy in the mail that had been stamped paid. You see, they remembered the debt, but they also recalled that the payment had been made to satisfy the debt. And that's what God does for each of us. The fact is, God doesn't forget our sin. He could never forget our sin that demanded the death of his own son. However, he also recalls the payment that Jesus made on our behalf. Did you know the Bible tells us in Revelation 12, verse 10, exactly what Satan is doing right now? You know what Satan is doing? He's not down in hell stoking the fire, getting it ready for those who are going to be there for eternity. No, Satan's not in hell right now. He's in heaven. He's been granted a limited access pass to heaven. He's parading before the Lord, Revelation 12, 10 says, accusing the brethren. That means you. That means me. He's accusing the brethren day and night. Right now, your adversary, the devil, is in heaven accusing you before your heavenly Father. Look at what he did. Look at what she did. Why would you ever want a relationship with somebody like that? And so God is being reminded of our debt. But God also remembers the payment that was made for our debt through his son, Jesus Christ. And that's why in 1 John 2, verse 1, John says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. That word advocate, paraclete, means an, a lawyer, an attorney. We have an attorney before the judge of all the universe. As Satan rails against us, we have an attorney, Jesus, who reminds our Heavenly Father, everything Satan is saying is true, but remember, Father, I paid the price, and I paid the debt in full. What I'm saying to you is, it's possible to recall a debt and still forgive the debt. You know, I remember talking to a woman some time ago who had been involved with an extramarital affair with somebody else in the church, and she had repented of her sin. She had gone to her husband and asked for his forgiveness, and he had forgiven her, and she was really walking with the Lord. But she said, Pastor, every time I'm in church and I'm listening to the message, all of a sudden I have flashes of memory of that terrible sin I committed. When I'm alone with the Lord trying to read my Bible or pray, I still remember my sin. What am I supposed to do? Is it because I really haven't been forgiven by God? You know, one of the things I explained to her was forgetting is a biological function. Forgiveness is a spiritual function. We shouldn't get the two confused. One counselor explains it this way. To me, this was fascinating. All memories are stored in the brain by electronic impulses and by chemical transference. Messages are sent simultaneously from nerve to nerve, both electronically and chemically. Memory is not a spiritual function, it's a biological function. Our brain can store at least 600 memories a second. That would work out to almost 1.5 trillion bits of information if we were to live for 75 years. Can you believe that? I mean, everything you do is seared into your mind electronically and chemically. Every experience is up there. You know, that's hard for me to understand. I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday, but it's up there. It doesn't mean that everything can be recalled instantly, but it's there to be recalled in certain circumstances. And so when you talk about asking people to forget what has happened to them, you're really asking them to do the impossible. Forgetting is a biological function. Forgiveness is a spiritual function. In fact, the truth is, there are some benefits to remembering offenses. You say, what benefit could come from remembering, especially the sins we've committed in the past, if we've been forgiven by those things? Think about the experience of the Apostle Paul. Paul had done some horrible things in his life. He recounts them in 1 Timothy chapter 1. He said that before he was a Christian, he was a zealous Jew who thought he was doing the will of God by trying to stamp out this new heresy called Christianity. He was a blasphemer of Jesus Christ. He was a persecutor, a violent Christian. He had Christians imprisoned. He had Christians tortured. He had Christians put to death. All of that changed on the Damascus Road when he met Christ as his Savior. But you know what? That confrontation with Christ didn't do a memory wipe for Paul. It didn't erase the memory of what he had done against the Christian movement. Nobody was going to let Paul forget, even if he tried. There were people until the day Paul died, Christians who said, he's not fit for service. We can't trust him. Look what he's done to us. Other times, Paul would go to a city and he would come face to face with those whom he had persecuted, with the relatives of those he had had killed. Paul spent his remainder of life being confronted with his sin. But did you know Paul saw some benefit in that? Listen to his words that we read in 1 Timothy 1, verses 12 to 16. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, putting me into service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And yet I was shown mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and the love which are in Christ Jesus. It is a trustworthy statement, deserving full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, among whom I am the foremost of all. And yet for this reason I found mercy, in order that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might demonstrate his perfect patience as an example of those who believe in him for eternal life. When someone offends you deeply, it's likely you'll never truly forget. But with God's help, you can certainly forgive. I hope you'll join us again next time when I continue this important teaching from God's Word. But right now, I want to thank you for your financial partnership with Pathway to Victory that allows us to touch lives with the truth of God's Word. I recently heard from a dad in Ohio who said, Pastor Jeffress, my teenage daughter and I are using the Pathway to Victory app as part of her homeschool curriculum. Her mom left us a couple of years ago, and my daughter is struggling with how to forgive her mother and me for the breakup of our family. We're listening to your series, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, in the hope of helping her cope with the pain she feels. Thank you so much. Well, thank you for your encouragement today. And remember, friends, when you give to Pathway to Victory, God is using your generosity to fill the dark corners of our world with the light of Jesus Christ. Now, please stay right there. I'll be back with more Pathway to Victory in just a moment.
God calls his children to forgive those who wrong them. Yet very few Christians have mastered the art of implementing forgiveness in their lives. Why is there such a disconnect between our understanding of forgiveness and our willingness to grant it to others? In his best-selling book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, Dr. Robert Jeffress answers your burning questions about forgiveness.
Somewhere in your past, there is a tremendous hurt with which you're still struggling. Perhaps it was an unwanted divorce, a surprise layoff from your job, or a betrayed friendship. In my book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, I'll show you how true biblical forgiveness can set you free from pain and bitterness.
Request a copy of the book, When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory. Plus, when your gift is $75 or more, you'll also receive the complete When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense teaching series on both CD and DVD.
One of the greatest barriers that is keeping some of you from forgiving other people is the very mistaken belief that they have to make the first move. In fact, in your salvation and my salvation, it was God who made the first step toward reconciliation, not us.
Thank you for standing with Pathway to Victory to bring biblical help and hope to many others who are searching. Together, we are piercing the darkness with the light of God's Word.
You don't have to forget a person's offense in order to forgive it. So today, let me encourage you to take your next steps. Maybe that means reaching out to someone who needs to hear these three powerful words, I forgive you. Or perhaps it means that you pry your fingers off the anger you've been clutching for so many years and just release it. Forgiveness is the only way to experience true freedom from the pain. And I hope you'll make plans to join us again next time when I continue to share how to forgive an offense without forgetting it. Stay tuned for a preview of what's coming up next on Pathway to Victory.
Today, when you give a generous gift to support the ministry of Pathway to Victory, we'll say thanks by sending you a copy of the best-selling book by Dr. Jeffress called When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense, plus the brochure called Teaching Your Children to Forgive is Our Gift to You, simply for contacting us at Pathway to Victory. And when your gift is $75 or more, we'll also send you the complete teaching series called When Forgiveness Doesn't Make Sense on both CD and DVD. These programs are made possible because of your generous support. So thanks for calling, writing, or going online to give today. Now, coming up next time on Pathway to Victory.
Don't think that, well, if time heals and time passes, the thing will blow over. It doesn't work that way. It's only after you go through a radical procedure called forgiveness that time works for you. And the truth is, we're only going to diminish the sting of the past memories if we have taken care of those memories through the act of forgiveness.
Set your DVR and join us next time for part two of the message, Forgiving Without Forgetting, here on Pathway to Victory.
The Bible is full of ancient prophecy, and I want to show you where these prophecies will unfold as we anticipate the second coming of Christ on our Pathway to Victory Bible Prophecy Tour of Israel.
Stand on the Mount of Olives, walk the streets of Jerusalem, all while discovering the impact of these places on your faith and your future. Join us on the Pathway to Victory Bible Prophecy Tour of Israel, April 26th through May 6th, 2022. To learn more, go to ptv.org.